desire and interest in your prayer this morning as we look into the Word of God. That verse that we just sang, and help me again with that first line of that song, that second verse. He's all I need, I dare not turn to any other, for He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. On Him, on this friend, I can rely. Isn't that wonderful to have a friend like that? Isn't it wonderful this morning that with life, let me just put it that way, with life, that there is a friend that we can count on, that we can depend on. And I say, as the songwriter said so eloquently, I dare not turn to any other. Because when we start turning to others, we're going to be let down. Somewhere along the way, we're going to be disappointed. Somewhere along the line, we're going to be let down. But when we allow Christ to fill that place, that my dependency, Lord, is on You, He will never let us down. He will never disappoint us. And we can depend on Him through every single situation that we encounter in life. And I am so thankful to have a friend like that. Feel like the Lord gave that song, and it fits so well with some of what the Lord put on my heart to share with you all for this morning service. I'd like to begin reading in the 17th chapter of Matthew. We speak about the Mount of Transfiguration. This is something that I'm sure you have all read and heard before, but as I was looking to the Lord about what He would have this week, this is what God gave me to give to you all today, and I trust that it will be a blessing and encouragement to you as it has been to me. And as we read this passage, let me just summarize it, and then we're going to read through it. Jesus called aside Peter, James, and John, and He took them on top of the mountain. And it was there on top of the mountain that Christ was transfigured. And Moses and Elijah came down from heaven, came down from paradise in bodily form and communed with Christ. And Peter, as he had such a desire for them to stay, he said, let us build 3 tabernacles. Let's build a place for them to be. And the Lord God spoke out of heaven and He said, this is My beloved Son, hear ye Him. And Moses and Elias disappeared. They went back up to heaven, and Peter, James, and John had fallen down in fear. And the Lord Jesus came by their way, and He touched them. He said, don't be afraid. He said, get up. He said, arise. Let's begin in verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, His brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. This story here is a beautiful experience that Peter, James, and John were able to behold that day. And some of the commentators bear out that they think that it possibly happened at nighttime. And one of the reasons for that was in the account in Luke, it said in the morning they came down off the mountain. So whether it took place at night or not, but I'll tell you, when you start to see the glory of God at nighttime, isn't it that much more glorious? What about your night times? The darkest periods in your life of stresses and trials and battles, and you see the glory of God, isn't it wonderful? Words cannot describe during the darkness of night when you behold the glory of God. There's a song, and I don't know all the words, and I probably don't need to know them all, but it said, I wish I would have been there. And as I read over this, that was just what came. It was like, Lord, I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have been there with Peter, James, and John and experienced what they had. But do you know not all the disciples were able to experience this? Not all of them were able to see it. I want to be one of those that the Lord comes by and says, Michael, come with me. Come with me apart. In other words, the Lord, and we say, why did the Lord choose Peter, James, and John? Because didn't the others feel bad? I mean, because these were the same 3 later on that went to the Garden of Gethsemane with Christ as well. And remember, they slept. But these were some that the Lord knew there was a place in their life that they needed to see. They needed to behold even more than the others the glory of God. You study the lives of the disciples, and God used all of them mightily, the exception of Judas, after Christ had died, of course, and rose again. But Peter, James, and John filled special places of leadership. They went through special battles and trials that not everybody went through. And I think it's noteworthy that sometimes if you want to see the glory of God, it's going to come at a price in your life. You know, when the times and the Lord comes and shows His glory and you revel in the anointing and the power of God, you just get ready because some hard things are going to come your way. But I count it as a privilege when the hard things come and I can go through them knowing I have seen the glory of the Lord. As the prophet said, mine eyes have seen the glory. I've seen the Lord work. I know what He is. I've seen Him high and lifted up. And so when the hard times come, it's the glory of God that enables us to go through the times of our night. But I am so thankful for those times. He called Peter, James, and John, it said, unto a mountain apart. One of the reasons I believe also Christ did that was that according to the old law, you had to have two or three witnesses for something to be established. And I believe the Lord, although He did not want them, He instructed them at the end of this passage, don't tell anybody what happened until after I've risen again. In other words, keep your counsel, but after that, I want you to tell that there were people that could witness to the lessons that we can learn out of this story here of what happened on that mountain that day. And something else is noteworthy. Peter, James, and John were kind of in the inner circle with Christ. It was not meant to the spiritual exclusion of everybody else. But is not that the way it really is in life? Do you have an inner circle? Fair is fair. Are there not some people that you can maybe be more open to and find closer fellowship than maybe some other people? We want to be careful that when those times happen, that we see, if I look at you and I see your inner circle, and I begin to feel a little bit jealous, or I begin to feel a little bit resentful, well, I'm saved too, but maybe there's just not the connection, or maybe there's just not the openness that's there. But we don't want to begrudge that in the lives of other of God's children. That there are sometimes that there are people, they need a confidant. They need someone to go and turn to pray with. It doesn't mean that you're loved any less. It doesn't mean that you're loved less than someone else. But I believe that this is natural. And I believe even with Christ Himself, He had an inner circle. And He called them and He said, I want you to come with me apart. Folks, all of us, I believe the Lord wants you to be in His inner circle this morning. I believe that. But I believe that if we're not living sold out to God, we're not going to find ourselves in that inner place. Do you want to see the glory of God? People say, Lord, I want more power in my life. I want more glory. I want to experience a closer relationship with God. Folks, it's going to cost something if you want to have greater blessings in your life. When we get saved, and I'll just illustrate it this way, please understand the imperfection of the illustration. But when we get saved, we are brought into the circle of God's grace. We've been forgiven of our sins. The Lord has, His grace is shining down on this area that is free from sin in the works of the flesh. But I also have found and believe that there is an inner circle right here that a lot of people aren't living. This is the place where the greatest anointing is. It's a place where there's greater grace. It's a place of greater fellowship with God. And there are people that are living saved, but they're living out here. And some people are living right here. That's a dangerous place to be, folks. Right on the edge. I'm not sinning, but I'm getting as close to the world as I can. Folks, we can't afford to get close to the world in this day and age. We're going to end up falling off back into it. So our desire ought to be, Lord, I want to get in that inner courtyard. I want to go into that inner room where the very presence of God rests. How do I get there? Through self-denial, through obedience, through submission to the Lord, every single day, Lord, help me today to submit to Your will and say no to self. We, folks, we're all faced with struggles in the flesh. We're all faced with temptations. And I'm finding that in our time, many people sitting right under the sound of the gospel in Church of God congregations are living too close to the edge, and they're not willing to deny themselves of the things that, well, it's not sin, so I can do it. But going back to the issue of influence, how is it affecting your walk with God? How is it affecting your communion? If you don't feel close to God and you're doing it, give it up and see what happens. But live in such a way that the Lord can come by your way and say, come with me apart. I've got a special blessing for you. Would you like the Lord to call your name this week? I'd like to hear the Lord just come by and, hey, Zachary, would you come with me apart? I want to show you something. I want you to experience my glory. Would you like the Lord to do that this week for you? Lord, help us to get away from the edge. And we're still living under grace right here. But Lord, I want to come into that inner place. Think about the tabernacle and the temple. There were two rooms, weren't there? I want to get in the inner sanctuary where the closeness and the presence of God rests more heavily. And so He called them apart. And He was transfigured before them. And His face did shine as the sun. And His raiment was white as the light. So thankful for the times that the glory of Christ has been revealed. If you can just go back 2,000 years and think about being up on that mountain, being quiet around you, away from all the distractions, and then all of a sudden you look over and there is Christ. And He was transfigured. We say, what did that mean? Christ took upon Himself the fullness of His glory as the Son of God. That's why His face shone. You remember in the book of Revelation in heaven, it said there would be no need of the sun? You remember why there would be no need of the sun? Because God is the light. Christ! He's the light. He's there. And the disciples were able to see Christ in His transfigured form. And they were able to look on and do you realize He still had a face? He wasn't just a little empty spirit floating around now. He had a physical body, but it was a glorified body. And the disciples were witness to that before He even died. And it said His face shone as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. I think about it as I consider this, I thought about Christ. He did not have very many times like this in this life. He was a man that experienced sorrow. He was someone that was rejected by friends and by family. He was persecuted. He was falsely accused. This is Christ. Now you think your burdens are heavy. Well, Christ can empathize with you this morning. He shed tears. He knew what rejection was like. He knew what it meant to be falsely accused. He knew what it meant to be betrayed by the people closest to Him. He was a man acquainted with grief, the prophet Isaiah said. But in this place, it was almost like God gave the disciples there a little glimpse of the glory of the Son of God. This one that has experienced all this earthly difficulty, they looked on and He was transfigured. And the glory of God, it was just radiating out. This was truly the Son of God. And they got a glimpse of His glory. What do you think this did for Peter when he wanted to be hung upside down? And when he said, I am not worthy to be hung like my Lord was hung. Put me on the cross upside down. Do you not think that maybe Peter's mind was going back to the glory that he had seen in the Son of God? Folks, when we begin to get a glimpse now of a little bit of that glory, it will enable us to go through the hard times in our life. Because if you will stay faithful this morning, there's going to come a day that we too are going to see the transfigured Christ to be forever in His presence. Stay faithful this morning, saints. Stay faithful. There's glory, greater glory is yet to be revealed as we follow on the way. One day, we're going to see Jesus breaking through those clouds. I'm waiting on that day this morning. I told more than one person, I guess, this week, talking about Brother Delmer's passing and then Sister Karen, that that's what I'm working for. That's what I'm working for. That's what I'm waiting on. That's a time of rejoicing. Yes, there's the sorrow of the physical loss, but that's what we're working for. They have seen this glory that Peter, James, and John just got a little glimpse of for just a few hours. And it said, "Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them." Now, have you ever just wanted to be a little mouse? I remember hearing that my father and mother, when they were courting, they after church one night, I think my dad took my mother out to ice cream or something, and they got back home, and you're nodding your head, James, you must remember, they got back home, and my grandma and grandpa said, "Well, you have Wayne with you? You have your brother with you?" "No, we don't have him." "Yeah, he was with them, they just didn't know it. He'd been laying in the back seat on the floor the whole time, and they didn't know he was there until they got back home, and there was little brother." You ever want to hear a conversation? I don't necessarily recommend you do it that way. But I would have loved to have heard that conversation between Moses and Elijah and Christ. You know what was so wonderful about that? Moses represented what? The law. And Elijah was the chief of the prophets. So you have the law and the prophets, and then Christ. In what place did Christ? What place did Christ play in all of this? The law came by Moses, but what? But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. All of the things, all the law and the prophets all pointed to the coming of Christ. The Old Testament is full of prophecies of Christ's coming. The law was not to be an entity unto itself. The law was there to be a schoolmaster to teach us our sinfulness, that when the glory of Christ came, we could see how sinful we are and how much I need a Savior. So then here's Moses and Elias talking with Christ and communing, and I imagine Moses was just in awe that this is the Christ. And this is what we were teaching, the law that God gave to me. Now it's being perfected through the heart of man because of Jesus Christ. And Elias probably sat back at times, and I don't know his personality altogether, but I just think about Uncle Chuck and that little half grin he got on his face. I can just see Elijah kind of sitting back with a little smirk, a little smile on his face, thinking, this is what the prophecies were about. So this is what it meant. I didn't even understand all the prophecies that the Lord gave me. But this is the embodiment of what this is all about. Wouldn't have you liked to have heard that discussion? Oh, I think my heart would have been burning inside, just like it was with Moses and Elias. But keep in mind that Moses and Elias, it said here that he talked with them. You know that Moses died, but what about Elijah? Elijah didn't die, did he? He was translated. But yet here we have a picture, an experience of someone that died and someone that didn't, all appearing in bodily form, a glorified body, communing with Christ, who was also translated, or transfigured rather. You understand this morning that this is also a proof. It's one of the reasons Jesus allowed the disciples to see it. He was teaching them that there is going to be a time that we're all going to have a glorified body. One of the children asked me the other day, we're talking about, you know, when people are cremated, their ashes strewn, what's going to happen to their bodies when the Lord comes back? And what about now they're planning on manning missions to Mars? And they say, you can never come back. You're going to colonize it. You will never come back. What about those people when the Lord comes back? Do you know that wherever we are, in whatever condition our bodies are in, that when the Lord comes back, those that are ready to meet the Lord are going to be given a glorified body. We're not these little spirits floating around, but we're going to have a body, but it's going to be glorified. And that's part of what this beautiful vision, or wasn't a vision, it was an experience that Peter, James, and John had. It was proof of that. Well, that glorified body is going to be all the same. And folks, it also proves the immortality of the soul. Moses wasn't gone. Elijah wasn't gone. They were still there, but they'd been up with the Lord in heaven. They talked, And you know what they did there? This is one of the other such important, beautiful lessons of this transfiguration of Christ, is that they ceded their authority to Christ. The law and the prophets bow down and give their authority to the only person that can truly save us all. There's no other name under heaven given among whereby men must be saved. Folks, our salvation is not in the law of Moses this morning. Our salvation is not in adherence to just a prophecy. Those things pointed to the glorification of Christ. But our salvation is through Jesus Christ. And here we see a picture, one of the rare times that we see in this life, of Christ being exalted to His right estate as the Son of God. The glory and the power, and we see even Moses and Elias, it was fulfillment. This right here was a fulfillment that the old covenant was passed away and the new covenant was in place. And let's read on. In verse 5, let's read verse 4. It said, "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here." That's my sentiment this morning. Lord, I wish I could have been there. But do you know, in this life, I can say there have been times that the Lord has revealed Himself to me that went beyond what I read. It went beyond what someone told me. But it was a personal revelation and experience with the Lord that enabled me to see some of His glory. And it has enabled me to get through the hard times. When your faith is being questioned, have you ever had a conflict of faith? You know, just what about this? Is this even... When you have seen the glory of the Lord, it will get you through those crises of faith. It will see you through them. And Peter said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If Thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles. A place of sanctuary, a place to sleep, a place of communion." We don't want to leave this thing. Have you ever had an experience that's like you just want it to stand still? I don't want this thing to get over with. And they said, I don't want this to go away. Let's make three tabernacles, one for You, Lord, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And let's read what happened. He said, "When He yet spake," while He was speaking about building a tabernacle to the law and the prophets, as well as the Christ, God spake. It said, "Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said," and this was God the Father, He said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." What did that mean? It meant, I want you to hear Christ above the law and above the prophets. I don't want you to build a tabernacle for Moses. I don't want you to build a tabernacle to Elias or Elijah, but I want you to build a tabernacle, as it were. I want you to exclusively worship the Christ, the Son of God. This morning, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Who are we building tabernacles to in this life? We begin to exalt and build up almost to a place of devotion those that have gone before, or ideologies, or even principles of right. The law, do we not still follow most of what's contained in the Ten Commandments? Christ reinstated it, but our devotion and our worship is to be to Christ, the Son of God. And that's what God was wanting to instill in Peter, James, and John, to listen to Him. We're not living under Moses or Elias anymore, but we're living under Christ, under the redeeming blood of Jesus. And it's important for us to understand the old covenant here was passed away. It was no more. But I want to go a step further this morning and say, who is molding and shaping our thoughts and our perspectives? Who are we building tabernacles to? Who are you listening to in your life this morning? And Him only. We say, I'm listening to Christ, but I'm also listening to this over here, and I'm listening to this one over here. Now, he's a good brother. This is my beloved son. This. And why am I pointing to my Bible? Some of you young people, is there a scripture that relates Christ with the Word? Where's that? John. Do you remember what John said? I think he was pointing back. Very possibly, he was pointing back to this experience. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then going on down, it says here in verse 14, and the Word was made what? The Word was made flesh. That's why God said, I want you to hear Him. He is my Son. He is my Word. We live in a generation where Christians, professed Christians, are trying to separate Christ from the Word. I'm following Christ, but I can make exceptions. I don't have to do this over here in the Bible, but I accept Christ. No, it is one and the same. The Word of God came down and was made flesh. And what? Oh, I just lost my spot. And dwelt among us, and, now listen, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This was written after this experience on the mountain. Is not this most likely part of what John was talking about? The Word became flesh, the law and the prophets were gone, and we saw the glory of God. We saw the glory of the Son. It dwelt among us. Oh, dear ones, be careful this morning about who you're listening to. Be careful about when all of your sustenance is coming from people and books and things, even if they may have good in them. Be careful about basing your life decisions on things that are not from Christ and His Word. There are things out there, as was already spoken in Sunday school this morning. There's a lot of people that are educated. And if you're not careful, you will allow people's education in theology to overtake and be blinded to the lack of true spiritual anointing in their life. I would much rather listen to an unlearned and ignorant man that has been with Jesus, that can point me to the glory of Christ, as opposed to someone that has all of their I's dotted and T's crossed and is eloquent and moving in their speech and can make out the list that, yes, that's right. I would much rather listen to a message that penetrates to my heart, that can bring about a change in my heart and not just give me a mental exercise to observe and follow. Oh, folks, who are we listening to this morning? Lord, help us to get our eyes, and if they're on, and then keep them on Christ and His Word. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Listen to Him. And in verse 6, it said, when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. I believe here they had good desire. We'll build a tabernacle for all. And the Lord said, hold on a minute. This is my blood son. We don't have time to build a tabernacle for Moses. I don't have time to build a tabernacle to anybody else. I can appreciate Moses. I appreciate Elias. I value it because it's through them that we understand the fullness of Christ. It's what understood that it was a schoolmaster to us. But I'm not going to build a tabernacle. I'm not going to build a tabernacle to who we are as a people this morning. I'm going to build a tabernacle to Christ because that's who I want to define us as a people. He said, well, this is our history and this is where we were. I say, no, I want to build a tabernacle that when people come among us, they can look on, as we heard in Sunday school, these people have been with who? With Jesus, they've been with Christ, that I see some of the glory of Christ in you because the glory came from Christ. So we don't exalt ourselves, we don't lift ourselves up, but we lift up Jesus that others can look on and see the Christ for who He is. Not just as a man that walked on this earth, not just as a prophet, but that they would see the Christ as divine, the glorified Son of God. Folks, for too many people, Christ was just a man with some good ideas. But the Lord wants us to be among us, that we serve a risen Christ that is a glorified Christ, a transfigured Christ. That glory could just, we just see a little bit of it still, but that glory could begin to emanate through our life. Lord, help us this morning. They were sore afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, who'd they see? They saw no man. Moses and Elias were gone. All of those that they had studied and appreciated and lifted up, it said they lifted up their eyes and I could just see them falling on the ground. And they looked up and they didn't see any man except for Jesus. I would this morning that we lift up our eyes and see no man save Jesus only. Folks, Christ is our answer. Christ is the author and what? The finisher of what? Of our faith. It started with Christ and it's going to end with Christ. And so then in my living, in my life perspective, I've been looking at different books and different things, and they come from different perspectives. There's the worldview, the Christian worldview perspective. And there's the secular perspective, and there's this perspective and that perspective. I want you to know what I want my perspective to be this morning. I want it to be a Christ perspective. I want it to be a balanced Christ perspective. One that Christ is lifted up, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and behind Him there's a great army. There's a great army of people who have acknowledged His kingship. That's where I want to be this morning. I don't want to be in this group and that, Paul, as Paul said. Some say they're of Paul and some of Apollos and some of Christ. Who are we to be after this morning? It's not an issue of carnality. It's not an issue of getting in this side or that side or this group or that group. It's an issue of getting behind Jesus Christ and the fullness of His Word, because this is where the glory is. You want more power in your life? You want to have that alone time with God to empower us to get through the night time? Get a little bit closer to Him. Get a little bit closer and just see what will happen. If you're not sure about what I'm talking about this morning, those things in your life that you're just a little uncomfortable with, or the things that you know you kind of justify, I'm not talking about sinful things now, give it up for a while and see what happens. Just try it. And see if you don't start to find greater victory and greater power. And you can't do it because the preacher told you to. You'd have a bad attitude anyway. You know how you do it? When you have a desire, Lord, I want to get in that inner place. And I want to see more of Your glory. So I'm going to have to get rid of more of myself that I can behold the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus came by. And He said here in closing, He said He touched them. You know, there is something about the human touch that nothing else can communicate. There have been those that have been going through battles. Words are just so inadequate. Just go up, put your arm around them, give them a hug. Not say a word. That does more. That does more than any. Our feeble words are just so inadequate. When someone going through a rough time, I remember one time someone just came up and gave me a hug. And it just, someone cares. And these men, Peter, James, and John, were afraid. And the Lord didn't just speak, but He went up. And it said He touched them. In the places of your struggles this morning, in the places of our fear, in the places of uncertainty, I want us to know the Lord Jesus is still coming by our way. And He's putting out His hand and He's touching us. And when you are touched by the Lord, when you are touched by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you will never be the same again. So I say, Lord, touch me again. Come by my way, Lord. Let me go up on the mountain with You. Let me see. And He touched them and said, arise. Get up. You don't have to be pressed down. You don't have to be afraid. But get up and don't be afraid. I'm still here. I'm still here. And Jesus said, I will be with you even to the end of the world. Folks, He is still with us today. And He concluded by saying, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell this vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. The Jews couldn't handle it right then. they couldn't handle it yet. So he said, just wait until after I've risen again, and then you go tell them. There is a song that maybe we could close with singing. Been meditating on it some. It says, let me see Jesus only. That's who I want to see this morning. I want to get refocused, and I want to see Jesus only.